Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillahi rabbil alamin. Vessalatu vesselam ala seyyidil murselin ve ala alihi ve sahbihi ve sellem teslimen kesira. Rabbena lekel hamdu kema yenbagi li celali vechik ve li azimi sultanik. Subhanaka la nuhsi thanaen aleyke ente kema athnayta ala nefsik. Allahumma salli ve sellim ve barik ala seyyidina Muhammed ve ala alihi ve sahbihi ve sellim teslimen kethira. Allahumma inna nes'aluka al-afu wal-afiyata wal-mu'afata al-daimata fid-dini wal-dunya wal-akhira. Allahumma inna nes'aluka al-afu wal-afiyata wal-mu'afata al-daimata fid-dini wal-dunya wal-akhira. Allahumma inna nes'aluka al-afwa wal-afiyata wal-mu'afata al-daimata fid-dini wal-dunya wal-akhira. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First of all, I'd like to thank the organizers of this program and thank the honorable teachers and sheikhs, Sheikh Muhammad Al-Yaqubi and Sheikh Nuh Hamim Keller. May Allah bless them and preserve them, and may Allah bless you all to have a very successful program. As I understand it, and this is a novel thing for me to be addressing you in this manner, and it's sort of ironic that we're utilizing the instruments of modern technology, which have made it possible for us to address you in this manner at a conference and gathering where the topic is spirituality, and as I understand it, the struggle to maintain a degree of healthy spiritual life despite the challenges of the times. And the irony lies in the fact that perhaps one of the reasons we are experiencing the spiritual crises that are assailing us is due to the fact that we've become inundated with the implements and instruments of technology which distance us from the natural world. So we pray that despite the means of delivery, and despite the fact that we're not able to be physically in your presence to benefit from the strength of your collective hearts, that perhaps some benefit will be conveyed in any case. If we look at the Quran, there are countless messages which point to the aspects of human existence which transcend our obvious physical composition. So we see references to the qalb and references the heart, to the nafs, to the soul, to the ruh, to the life spirit. And all of these things remind us of the fact that we are far more than the mere physical composition. And unfortunately, Our spiritual life is rooted in our understanding of this divine subtlety, which some of the scholars believe is actually our various manifestations of a single divine subtlety which Allah Ta'ala has placed inside of us. We read in the Quran, for example, يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفِعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. The importance of having a rectified heart. We read in the Quran, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ إِرْجِعِي إِلَى رَبِّكِ رَاضِيَةً مَرْضِيَةً فَدْخُولِي فِي عِبَادِي وَدْخُولِي جَنَّتِي. O you contented soul, return to your Lord, pleasing and well-pleased, enter amongst my servants, enter into my paradise. Similarly in the Quran, ثُمَّ سَوَّاهُ, referring to the creation of the human being and the completion of that, the complementing that physical creation with the ruh. So Allah Ta'ala says, ثُمَّ سَوَّاهُ وَنَفْخَ فِيهِ مَ الرُّوحِ. And then he made him upright and he breathed into him of his spirit. And we should be cognizant, as I know most of us are, that his spirit refers not to a something that's intrinsically a part of the essence of Allah Ta'ala, but rather something from the creation of Allah Ta'ala that he's attributed to himself in order to ennoble and magnify its stature. In any case, speaking of ennoblement, it is indeed these aspects which distinguish us as human beings and which ennoble us as human beings. As Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ, that surely we have ennobled the human being. And that ennoblement lies in the fact that we have an immortal soul, and that we are capable of moving to higher and higher degrees, or towards higher degrees of perfection. We'll never attain to the perfection in human terms that was embodied in our noble messenger Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we have the ability to consciously strive to move towards those realms and degrees of perfection. If we reflect on one of the verses, يَا أَيَّتُهَا النَّفْسُ الْمُطْمَئِنَّةُ, O you contented soul, we should reflect or think about the fact, how do we get from to that contented soul? If that's the end of the path, if that is the soul that has been delivered to the gates of paradise, how do we get from that soul, إِنَّ النَّفْسَ لَأَمَّارَةٌ بِالسُّوءِ, that soul that inclines, that commands to that which is vile and wicked, that soul which inclines in its untrained, unrestrained, unrefined state towards those things which are vile and wicked. How do we move from that soul to the soul that's at the gate of paradise and enters into the paradise by the command of Almighty God? So there are many things we could say in that regard concerning that journey. One thing I would like to point out is the importance of our consciousness, of being conscious of what it means to be that ennobled human being, what it means to carry the banner of Islam in an increasingly dark world. And if we reflect on what it means to carry the banner of Islam, I'm sure we can say that to carry the banner of Islam is to carry the banner of human dignity. That this religion affords us a great degree of dignity. And this religion dignifies and, as we mentioned, ennobles us. And when we're conscious of that, then we can realize how unbefitting it is for us as Muslims to fall into some of the things that other people have fallen into. So our sisters should be cognizant of the dignity Islam has afforded them, and to wear the hijab with great pride, and to not want to dress or to act like a prostitute, which is the common way of behaving, especially increasingly in many of these Western lands. Here in America, there's an anecdote that I heard, and as the person who narrated it is a trustworthy person, that some of the prostitutes were complaining about the dress of the women, that the dress has become so shabby and so lewd and illicit that people don't know who the prostitutes are, and the customers are having a hard time identifying the prostitutes. So the dress code is cutting into business. And Muslims can be pulled down that slippery slope very easily if we lose sight of what it means to be a Muslim and what it means to be a person that's striving to uphold the dignity of the human being. Our brothers should not be moved, for example, to sell drugs, especially in many poor neighborhoods, thinking that's the only path to any economic viability. It's better to worship Allah in poverty than to rebel against Allah and attain to riches, because this life passes very rapidly, and before we know it, we're meeting Allah, and we won't be able to make any excuses before one who sees all and who knows all. So again, it's beneath our dignity to engage in such pursuits as that, drug dealing and drug using and these sort of things. And it behooves us to dig deep inside of ourselves, to plug into that spiritual, that latent spiritual energy that's within all of us, to actualize that and to work on the means and methods that our scholars have bequeathed unto us to actualize that potential. Similarly, we should not hide our Islam, because if we're carrying the banner of Islam, therefore carrying the banner of human dignity, someone has to carry this banner. And hiding our Islam, why are we hiding our Islam? Are we hiding our Islam because it's politically incorrect? The vicissitudes of this world are constantly changing. People are leading the attacks on Islam, who are leading the slanders of Islam, these conservative and neoconservative elements, especially here in this country, in the United States. 20 years ago, these were the same people that loved Islam. These were the people that were the champions of jihad in Afghanistan, and lovers of the Mujahideen, and lovers of Islam. And now, because their politics have changed, and that necessitates a change in their attitude towards Islam, are we supposed to change also just because they're changing? And then 10 years from now, when they change again, we change back. So we're like the fools who are constantly buying new suits, because the wide lapel suit is out of fashion. So we buy the narrow lapel suit and that's out of fashion. And we have to go back and get another wide lapel suit because we discarded our earlier one. So do we take off Islam and put on Islam because of the vicissitudes of time? No, we are consistent people. Bismillah ta'ala. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sabiru wa sabiru wa rabitu wa taqullaha la'allakum tuflihun. You who believe, persevere, patiently persevere, and vanquish those who oppose you through your perseverance. And be on guard in seeking to protect the physical realm of the ummah, and be on guard in your religious life to guard your personal realm against the attacks and the invasion of those forces who would seek to waylay us. So, brothers and sisters, to do these things requires a struggle. Indeed, it requires a struggle. But struggle is nothing new for a believer. Every believer is tested. Every community was tested. Those nations who preceded us were tested. This is nothing new. And the tests today that we are experiencing are similarly nothing new in terms of a lot of the vilification of Islam that we're witnessing, and a lot of the hate mongering and the foul words directed at our beloved and noble Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. None of this is anything new. And to remind yourselves and myself, and relate one verse from the Quran which describes the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the early Muslim community facing the exact same situation. So Allah Ta'ala says in that regard, وَلَتُبْلَوُنَّ فِي أَمْوَالِكُمْ وَأَنفُسِكُمْ وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا أَذًا كَثِيرًا وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. So Allah Ta'ala says to the first community, and the lesson is relevant for us. Al-ibra li umumul lafz la li khusus as-sabab. So the lesson is to be found in the generality of the wording, not in the specificity of the occasion of revelation. So Allah Ta'ala says that surely you will be tested in your wealth and your persons. And you will hear, وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. And you will hear from those given the scripture before you. وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. And from the idolaters, أَذًا كَثِيرًا. Much abuse. Much abuse. Not light abuse. Not passing abuse. But much abuse. أَذًا كَثِيرًا. So what are we to do? What were they instructed to do? وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا. If you patiently persevere. وَتَتَّقُوا. And remain mindful, conscious of God and your obligations to God. This is taqwa. امتثال الأوامر واجتناب النواهي. To implement the commandments and to avoid the prohibitions. And this should be our state in every situation, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, instructed one of his young companions, اتَّقِ اللَّهَ حَيْثُمَا كُنْتَ. Be mindful of God wherever you are. Be in a state of awareness of your responsibility to God wherever you are and whenever. In all times and places. This haythu can be an adverbial of time or place. In all times and in all places. So in this time and in this place, it behooves us to maintain our consciousness of God. And this is addressed to the believers. It's addressed to the believers. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا is plural. If you patiently persevere. وَتَتَّقُوا. Again, plural. And remain conscious of God and conscious of your responsibilities and obligations. فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Now the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in another hadith, another tradition, informed us, إِنَّ اللَّهَ أَمَرَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ بِمَا أَمَرَ بِهِ الْمُرْسَلِينَ. That Allah has commanded the believers with that which He has commanded the messengers with. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is also, and the messengers who preceded him, were ordered with these things, to patiently persevere in calling people to this way and enduring the difficulties that are involved in living this religion. So he's also ordered, and when Allah Ta'ala says, Fasbir. So he says to the generality of believers, وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. And he says to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Fasbir, patiently persevere. كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. As those messengers given to firm resolve who preceded you, patiently persevered. كَمَا صَبَرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ مِنَ الرُّسُلِ. So we're told to patiently persevere. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam doesn't have to be reminded to be mindful of God. So that's a moot point. But كَمَا صَبْرَ أُولُو الْعَزْمِ. And he's reminded of how important it is to be steadfast and convicted in the affair. And we are similarly reminded. فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. So we have to look at the teachings of our religion and draw on those teachings for understanding our situation, for insight into our situation, and as a source of spiritual strength. And in conclusion, what are we struggling for? One of the greatest things in terms of maintaining a viable spiritual life is struggling to maintain a viable tradition, to remain in touch with those who have preceded us, to keep our hearts in contact, linked in a chain to those hearts that have preceded us. And when we say maintaining a viable tradition, we're not talking about a stagnant tradition incapable of producing men and women who can rise through the challenges of our age, but a tradition which respects the institutions of the past. And by respecting those institutions, keeps us in touch with the hearts who are responsible for those institutions. And this is very, very important, because those institutions, be they intellectual, be they spiritual institutions, social institutions that guided the progress of this ummah through history, this community through history, there were institutions which kept our hearts in touch with each other. So, for example, the institution of the madhahib, the juridical schools of thought. These institutions allow the hearts of our hearts to be in touch with the hearts of our teachers, who were in touch with the hearts of their teachers, whose hearts were in touch with the hearts of their teachers, whose hearts were in touch with the hearts of their teachers, whose hearts were in touch with the hearts of the likes of Imam Ahmed, whose heart was in touch with the Imam Shafi, whose heart was in touch with Imam Malik, whose heart was in touch with Nafi, whose heart was in touch with Ibn Umar, whose heart was in touch with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose heart was in touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And lest the Hanafis feel left out because we mentioned Imam Ahmed and Shafi and Malik, we can go Imam Ahmed's, whose heart was in touch with Imam al-Shafi'i, whose heart was in touch with Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani, whose heart was in touch with Imam Abu Hanifa, whose heart was in touch with Al-Qama, or al-Naqai, whose heart was in touch with Ibn Mas'ud, whose heart was in touch with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whose heart was in touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we all can feel connected, and we should feel connected, and we should strive to make sure that those who come after us, who will succeed us, will be connected. We cannot lose our institutions in the face of efforts to reformulate and reform Islam and transform Islam to make Islam, for example, into a worldly secular ideology. Worldly means for the attainment of worldly goals, and along the way transform it into something that is utilitarian. If it works, we'll keep it. And if it doesn't work, we'll discard it. If it works clothed in the garb of nationalism, we'll clothe it in the garb of nationalism. If it works clothed in the garb of socialism, we'll clothe it in the garb of socialism. If it works clothed in the garb of anarchism, we'll clothe it in the garb of anarchism. And if it doesn't work, we'll reject it. Is that our course? Hasha lillah. So we pray that we can really be cognizant of what's going on around us, be cognizant of the way we look at our religion, and make great efforts to hold on to what the great scholars and the humble worshippers and devout people of the past have bequeathed unto us. They've bequeathed unto us through tremendous sacrifice and tremendous work, something very praiseworthy and very laudable. And we pray that we're able to do our part to pass this on to posterity. And that does require struggle, but it's a struggle like our ancestors we should look forward to. For what else is there for us in this world except to make a good intention, to work hard and to struggle and to prepare for our meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wal'aqibatu lilmuttaqeen. Wala udwana illa ala al-zalimeen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Inshallah, we will be able to be there physically with you at a future date. Bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.